Good morning, everyone. I call this meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, and joined by fellow Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. Before we get started on our agenda, would you please join me in pledging our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert, do you?
Thank you, Commissioner. No, I do not.
Commissioner Fedorchak? Okay. Then I want to remove RC2 from the consent calendar and put it on the regular calendar because there's some things in there I'd like to discuss. So did anyone else have any agenda changes to recommend?
No, I do not.
Okay, with that then, I move approval of the consent calendar, which is now numbers 1, 3, and 4, as well as the minutes of our previous meeting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, moving into the regular agenda then. I move the commission adopt the order in LTD Broadband LLC designated eligible carrier application case number PU-21-168.
Second.
On May 7th, and I want to emphasize of 2021, so well over 2 years ago, LTD Broadband submitted an application seeking designation as an ETC to avail itself of support from the Federal Universal Service Fund. The primary purpose of this designation was to enable LTD to access funding through the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, that's often referred to as RDOF, for the deployment of broadband and voice communication services in unserved areas of North Dakota. Following LTD's application submission, we received comments from the Broadband Association of North Dakota, which asserted that LTD did not possess the requisite network infrastructure capable of delivering the committed service levels and had failed to demonstrate its capability to do so. So advocacy staff concluded that it would not be in the public interest for North Dakota to grant ETC status to LTD and recommended that we deny the application. Through their proceedings, the FCC had mandated that successful RDOF funding recipients must obtain ETC designation from each state they received the RDOF bids from by June 7th of 2021. And LTD failed to meet that crucial deadline. So subsequently, on October 20th, still in 2021, the FCC denied LTD's request for a waiver of the deadline. In response, on November 19th of 21, LTD filed a petition for reconsideration with the FCC. We issued a notice of continuance, in case the FCC did that. However, LTD did not submit any additional documentation or filings to us during this period. So on August 10th of 2022 now, FCC concluded its review of LTD's application and determined that LTD was not reasonably capable of complying with FCC requirements. So consequently, the FCC denied LTD's applications and declared LTD to be in default on all their winning bids. So now advisory staff has recommended that we issue an order denying the application and closing the case. I think this is one where North Dakota was out in front on showing that this company did just not have what it took to meet up to the requirements of that federal program.
Randy, do you recall how many grants they had received? Because it was a sizable number, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember how that was divided up, like, as number of grants. but it was for vast areas of North Dakota as well as multiple other states.
Mm-hmm. Millions of dollars.
Oh, millions.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I think this was an example of where our network of regional associations for our groups, our commissioner groups, was really helpful, because I distinctly remember talking about this or hearing some others talk about this at other meetings and kind of flagging it that this was an issue to be looking at. And you know, not getting into the details of the case, but just being able to understand the magnitude and how far this is going, and getting that sort of heads up as to what was some of the concerns were, I think was really helpful.
It was, and that was a big key. And I will also point out the importance of our comment process, because the Broadband Association of North Dakota did a lot of research on what was going on and weighed in as well.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, so staying with the telecommunications theme, I move the commission adopt the order on eligible telecommunications carrier designation in Boomerang Wireless LLC, designated eligible carrier, partial relinquish, application case number PU-23-278.
Second.
On October 9th of 2013, so now we're going back even farther, the commission designated Boomerang Wireless as an eligible telecommunications carrier. This was for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers in all study areas. The previous one was for building out infrastructure. This is providing the low-cost support. On July 28th of this year, Boomerang filed an application requesting partial relinquishment of its designation as an ETC in areas served by Verizon. Now, in their back in 2013, they requested it statewide, as so many of these have done, and has been really causing me a lot of concern lately. And now they're wanting to relinquish the ones served by Verizon Wireless. Prior to permitting a carrier to cease providing universal service in an area, the state commission must require that the remaining eligible carrier or carriers ensure that all customers served by the relinquishing carrier will continue to be served. So on August 16th, we issued a notice of opportunity for comment, providing until close of business on September 29th for comments. None were received. By approving this motion, we will be finding that, number one, there is more than one ETC serving in the area Boomerang is seeking to relinquish. Number two, Boomerang provided notice of its intent to relinquish its ETC designation for around, if I counted all the zip codes right, in order, 232 zip codes in North Dakota. And number three, there are 15 subscribers total being served by Boomerang in those areas that they intend to relinquish. Those subscribers have the option to either port their service to a different zip code that Boomerang is not relinquishing, or to select a different ETC that serves their area. And Boomerang will send notices to each of those 15 subscribers, 60, 45, 30, 15, and 5 days prior to its proposed relinquishment date of October 20th. I also want to add, and this isn't in the memo, in that, but you know, I mentioned in that last order, I'm concerned about these companies that come in and want status for the whole state. Well, so in this one, it seems like, okay, now I'm getting what I want. They're just taking the part of the state that they're going to do. I'm still not happy. One, there was a time when we did this by rate centers. You know, so like each of the little towns that has a telephone, the three-digit number at the beginning of your phone number, that's a rate center. we did these areas by raid centers. Along the way, I think before any of our time, that got changed to zip codes, and I don't really know why, and I don't know what would be better or worse, but I don't think either one is a good solution. So I've tasked staff to help me find some other way of designating these areas, because in this case, so they relinquish this. I thought at first, I was imagining big blocks of the state that they were going to continue serving, and then big blocks of the state that they were going to discontinue. No, that's not it. You can go down a highway, and, you know, one town they're serving, and the next town they're relinquishing. The next town they're serving, and they say that the ones they're relinquishing are served by Verizon. From my old telecom days, some of these I know are very well served by Verizon, and they're keeping them. I don't know, it's a mishmash. And now I can envision them potentially showing a map of their area, and it's a polka-dotted thing, and the consumer has no idea. And so I hope in the future I can find something to propose that's better, but in the meantime, they want to relinquish these 230-some zip codes. I think there's no reason why we would refuse that. Those 15 customers that they have that fall into them have access to other options and are by this order being notified well in advance multiple times. So I think this is okay.
I have a question for you. So is there any, like, the eligible telecommunications provider is their phone provider, right? Like, they're going to know this, that this is my phone provider and I need a new one.
Correct.
So there's no, like, confusion that these customers are going to have. They're going to know, like, Boomerang's no longer going to... It would be like if AT&T stopped providing my phone service. I would know this, and I'd have to find another one.
I believe so, yes.
They're not going to get this notice saying, I'm losing my ETC. Don't know what that is. Must not be important. Because nobody calls these ETCs. This is not how people talk about their phone service.
You're right, and I guess I didn't clarify what the notices specifically say, but I'm pretty confident.
They know.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's only...
Because they're going to be the ones that have problems with these, with their customers then, if they hold on to it and all of a sudden they don't any longer qualify for Lifeline. So...
I have a follow-up question to that. Will we receive a copy of the notices that they send out just in case we get calls? I'm just wondering if that's a possibility, just for awareness that what's being communicated, so calls do come in.
I'm sure if we pause long enough, staff will come in. I think we do get a copy of the notice, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. Were they headquarters out of again? I couldn't find it, and I was going to look it up. It's irrelevant.
Victor, where's the headquarters of Boomerang? And I don't know that it matters because they're probably a subsidiary of something that's a subsidiary of something else.
Well, my point to that is any type of notice that gets sent out and they're out of state, and feel free to contact us with any questions, seems to be impossible. So those calls end up sometimes out of frustration from here. So,
and Victor, do you know, do we get the copy of the notice that they provide the customers those periods of time ahead?
I was just looking through the filing here. So we do on occasion receive those with the filing. So I was just kind of paging through here. See if they included that with this particular filing. So some of them are by text message they're receiving these, it looks like. So they just gave us an example of, here's the alert message that was sent out by a text.
Mm.
So it does look like we have that. Even if we have questions on any of that. So if we get a call from a customer, to your point, Commissioner Haugenhoffert, we do have contact information for these companies on their normal. So they're all required to register with us on our website. And that's kind of what we use to provide the contact information for customer complaints or questions.
Thank you.
So we absolutely do have that.
Perfect.
Anything else?
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Before we go into RC3, I'll give you a chance if anyone wants to bring RC1 back. I neglected to say something. We discovered overnight that when the Broadband Association of North Dakota, in the order that's in your packet, it just said band. And so we changed that this morning and spelled it out, what that is. And also the second page didn't have a page number, so we made those two corrections. And I said it does not pay to print all this up and everything. But this order we sign is going to have those two distinctions from what was in your packet. Is everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. I think I need to see it.
Okay, then we'll move on to RC3. I move the Commission accept the Federal Office of Surface Mining's 2023 evaluation reports for the coal regulatory and abandoned mine lands programs.
Second.
And this, you two might be wondering why so much staff is here. They requested that they be here because, and this is also why I pulled it from the consent calendar, because I wanted to talk about this. This is something that we need to highlight and be mighty proud of. So OSM, they recently issued their evaluation reports for both programs for the year that ended June 30th of 2023, using their federal years. No issues or concerns were raised in the reports, and OSM continues to report that we have an effective and efficient coal regulatory and AML programs. I want to highlight a few quotes, first from the AML evaluation report. And I might skip some abbreviated things. These are very close to quotes, but in your file is the actual quotes. So the state administers an excellent abandoned mine land program in full compliance with their approved plan. Another quote. The PSC continues to administer an efficient and successful program. Since the program's inception, North Dakota has conducted 186 reclamation projects, 34 emergency projects, and numerous construction, maintenance, and sinkhole filling projects. These projects have reduced the likelihood of death or injury to property owners and the public. Another quote. PSC and the Abandoned Mine Lands Division met the goals of abating hazards and improving site conditions at all projects conducted during the evaluation year. And the last one on AML, although there are many more, the PSC maintains a very cost-effective program with only 14% of the grant dedicated to administrative costs. The remainder of the program is spent on project design and construction. Then I want to jump to a few quotes from the regulatory program. The North Dakota PSC has a very good working relationship with their customers that include industry, landowners, citizen groups, and other governmental agencies, including the Office of Surface Mining. The Reclamation Division carries out its duties using the appropriate technical expertise and with a high level of professionalism. Quote, the PSC staff continues to implement their program in a professional, cooperative, and fair manner. The Reclamation Division uses new technology to become more efficient and make information more readily available to the public. The North Dakota PSC has the necessary technical expertise for carrying out its functions. And I specifically highlighted that one and wanted to make sure some of our IT staff were here. If we didn't have our own IT program, we would not be able to deliver in that way, and there's not one shred of doubt in my mind about that fact. Another quote, the North Dakota PSC maintains a cost-effective program. And lastly, but again, there are many other, based on topics evaluated this year, North Dakota has an effective program with no issues that need corrective action. And I wanted our staff to hear that because, like I said, this is something to be mighty proud of. And I just appreciate the work that gets done up there. I wish I wandered the halls of the 13th floor as much as I do the 12th, like I really ought to, but it just seems like in the busyness of the day and because of their exceptional work, you don't need to in a way. And so I just want to commend and thank you all, as well as those who can't be here.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
You know, Commissioner Crisman, you did a great job on highlighting some of this stuff. And as I read through it, you know, when I think of staff, you know, highlighting some of the words that were used, demonstrate excellent level of technical and, you know, being experts. And their customer service is very appropriate and scientifically sound. I mean, those are just astounding thing. Words, you know, to hear about your staff and the dedication that you have. But then to, you first brought out about the safety and saving lives. I mean, that just elevates it to a whole different level. So I know you said it, we clap for you, but please know your appropriateness and your professionalism and customer service and dedication to the program is well recognized. So job well done to you guys and to IT, Matt, and your team. And I know, Jack, you have a hand in all this too. So kudos to all around. It is recognized. So job well done.
Is there any further discussion?
You both said it very well. Randy, thanks for elevating this to the regular agenda and inviting everybody here so you could all get this recognition. One of my favorite quotes about government is that we do the boring good. And in a lot of respects, that's very, very true. And it's really cool to see this team, which is a lot of new faces and some who have been around, passing along the wisdom from our previous teams. Just really embracing that and finding the satisfaction of doing that born good so well. And it really does have a huge impact on citizens of our state. And so thank you. It's great to have such a wonderful team and new people coming on board and embracing the kind of values that we really have embedded into the workplace here. So thank you for your great work. I look forward to seeing even more of it in the years to come.
Lastly, and I'm glad I saved this till last because that was a perfect lead into it with the new faces part. And some of what has made this possible, I think, has been tremendous leadership upstairs. And last week, I was so honored at the Reignite Energy Council, and we actually did this at our previous meeting, but we just put it on the consent calendar because trying to not have it reach the papers and stuff and ruin the moment for the industry, I guess. But we approved issuing our annual reclamation award to Zanna for her years of service here, for her willingness to stick around probably longer than what she maybe once hoped, in order to help with the amount of transition that we've had here and provide that leadership, as well as some of the new kind of odd things that we've had with the bankruptcy that we never experienced before, and then kind of a new situation with a new plant owner coming in that hadn't been involved in the mine type of activity. And so to our Reclamation Award winner, Zanna, and the leader of all this. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Now back to work. No.
That concludes my portfolio.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. I move the Commission suspend the rates and reduce the application fee to $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery 2024 rates, case number PU23-306.
Second.
Thank you. On September 15th, 2023, Otter Tail Power Company filed an annual update under its Transmission Facility Cost Recovery Rider Tariff. The proposed rates for 2024 include the cost of three new transmission projects, three transmission rebuild projects, four extended life projects, the cancellation of a project, and updated costs for the previously approved transmission projects. Furthermore, it also includes updated MISO and SPP revenues and expenses and a true-up amount from the current rate. The increase for a residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt per month would be 76 per month. So persons desiring a hearing must submit a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for the hearing must be received by November 22, 2023. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing. Otter Tail has a lot going on regarding this transmission rider on, especially the three new projects and rebuilds, and also looking at, you know, the costs and the updates to their previous. So this will be, I know, at least an interesting informal with them.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the Commission suspend the rates and reduce the application fee to $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery 2024 rates, case number PU23-315.
Second.
Thank you. On September 27th, NSP filed an annual update to its transmission cost recovery rate adjustment tariff. The proposed rates for 2024 include the projects of two new transmission projects, updated costs for previously approved projects, updated MISO and SPP revenues and expenses, and a true-up from the current rate. The increase for their residential customers using 750 kilowatt per month would be 43 cents per month. Those interested in a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reason for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for the hearing must be received by November 22, 2023. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Commission issue a notice of hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Advanced Prudence Astoria Fuel Inventory System application case number PU-23-66.
Second.
So a hearing for this case is scheduled. That's what we're announcing today for December 12th at 8:30 a.m. in our Commission hearing room. This is relating to an application that Otter Tail has filed with us for an advanced determination of prudence to develop, own, and operate an on-site fuel inventory system at its Astoria station. That's a 250-megawatt natural gas-fired combustion turbine generator. They're looking to have some on-site fuel for that so they can assure that it's available when it's needed, and hopefully receive a higher capacity rating for the in the RTO where that is being used. So this will be an opportunity for us to hear the company's plans and determine whether they're prudent.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the Commission issue a notice of filing and notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Ashtabula 1 Wind Upgrade Project, Barnes County, case number PU-23-252.
Second.
So this project was first permitted in 2008 by the Commission. It's a 200-megawatt wind farm called Ashtabula Wind Energy Center in Barnes County, and a portion of that ownership was transferred to Otter Tail Power in 2009, and that's what we're looking at here on the repower. This case would repower 32 existing 1.5 megawatt turbines that have a 77-meter rotor diameter blades, hubs, and gearboxes, and upgrade those to 1.6 megawatt 91-meter rotor diameter blades, hubs, and gearboxes. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by November 22nd, and if deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Right. I move the Commission issue a notice of filing and notice of opportunity for hearing in Rugby Wind LLC, Rugby Wind Farm, Pierce County, citing application case number PU-23-313.
Second.
So this is an even older wind farm. This was permitted in 2005, a 150-megawatt Rugby Wind Farm in Pierce County. They are now filing an application to repower their 71 existing turbines that have 88-meter rotor diameter blades, hubs, and gearboxes with 2.2-megawatt turbines that have 120-meter blades, hubs, and gearboxes. The height of these turbines will increase from 47 feet to 456 feet. So the new infrastructure won't have a much higher nameplate capacity, but it will have a higher capacity factor, so it'll produce its nameplate more often. That's why the companies want to do this, these upgrades, that and the fact that they get to extend their PTCs another 10 years. And we'll look at the impacts this new infrastructure would have on the area in this permit area, and make the decision based on that. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by November 24th.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so from an announcement standpoint, not a lot. We're going to have a short personnel meeting here later this morning at 11:30. At 1:30, we have an informal hearing with Dakota Natural Gas. That's about providing natural gas pipeline and gas service to Larimore and Arvilla. And a lot going on in the next couple weeks, but and then later this afternoon at 3, we have a work session with Otter Tail Power on case number 23-275. And that's their advanced metering and distribution technology. A lot of other things going on, but not the kind that we usually specifically highlight, but they are on our website. So the other thing I'll point out, our next regular meeting is October 24th, which is a Tuesday. I didn't recall that, so I'm not sure why it's on a Tuesday.
I think there's the OMS annual meetings in Mississippi that week, so I think that's
okay.
Why we had it earlier
Tuesday, but at the regular time of 10 o'clock. So with that, we stand in recess for questions from the press. There's none here, but we'll see if there's anyone online.
Tribune's here.
Huh?
Yep. Joey.
Oh, okay. I'm used to... Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, so we are in recess. Thank you.